Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Yeah, Jimmy, I was really curious. I was going to ask last Saturday night, but obviously it was too soon. But I was really curious what the tape showed of the first half performance specifically. What did you see?
Yeah, you know, we played really hard. We played physical. I think on offense we couldn't convert third downs for sure. I believe we were 0 for 6. We couldn't move the chain. We couldn't extend drives. And then on defense, you know, we didn't tackle very well. And also they did a nice job again of getting us out of gaps, creating little creases in our defense, and things that we had to shore up. Which we obviously did in the second half. But I saw a team, our team, that was still playing fast, and they were playing hard. The plays just weren't going our way. And Utah was making more plays than we were. And thankfully, we were able to change that in the second half.
All right, we'll go to Masvita, then Lars, and then Dan Raley. Go ahead, Masvita.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, your offensive line has only allowed one sack. I'm just wondering if you could talk about their versatility, not only in the pass blocking, but their run blocking as well.
Yeah, they've done an excellent job, and it's everybody. It's our running backs in protection. It's obviously our offensive line in protection, but then it's also the quarterback. The quarterback's got to be able to go through his progressions and get rid of the football. And we can't have a quarterback sitting back there forever, and he's taking 10 seconds to find out where he's throwing it. That's where we're going to be giving up a whole bunch of sacks. And so, starts with the offensive line. We've done an excellent job. Coach Huff's an excellent job of coaching those guys up, blocking who we need to block, our running backs blocking who they need to block, our tight ends blocking who they need to block. But then the quarterback also being a great decision maker has led to us, in actuality, not giving up any sacks because the one was an actual scramble out of bounds.
All right, Lars, and then Dan Raley. Go ahead, Lars.
And just to piggyback off that, Dylan's game, when you looked at the interceptions, how did you evaluate his decision-making on those three throws specifically?
Yeah, so the first one was not good at all. And, you know, I get a lot of credit to Utah also. They, statistically it's been us, the University of Washington, or the University of Utah that has had the best defense in the Pac-12 for 6 years running. And it's probably going to be the case again this year in 2020. And so they do a nice job of disguising things and causing havoc. And definitely, we would definitely want that throwback, that first interception that Dylan had. The second one, there's 1 second left on the clock, and we're trying to go make a play and then get into halftime and try to put some points on the board. And so obviously, statistically, it says three interceptions, but the second one, we're just trying to make something happen. And obviously, it fell in their hands. And then the third one, again, underthrown on a double move. I think I mentioned it last Saturday. I think at wide receiver, we still can go up and contest that and try to get it out of the air and help our quarterback out. But definitely Dylan needs to throw that longer, earlier. And again, give credit to University of Utah. They're well coached. They have really good players. And their corner made a nice job pass deflecting and getting the interception with the safety.
All right, Dan Raley, then Mike Varell. Dan?
Jimmy, Kyler Gordon and Cam Williams played a lot in the comeback in the second half. Could you talk about their performances?
Yeah, very excited about those two guys. Coach Harris and Coach Brown, they did a really nice job of rotating those guys in, even against the University of Arizona. If you guys were watching early on in that game, we had a nice rotation of Kyler getting some more snaps, Cam Williams getting some more snaps, and that continued in the game last week versus Utah. They were rotating in there in the first half as well as the second half. And obviously Kyler showed up in a huge way with the big, big turnover there to stop Utah's momentum, and then Zion getting on that fumble and returning it. So I'm really excited about those two guys. Those two guys are still young guys. It's crazy. They feel like old guys are still young guys, but it's nice getting those guys more reps and more reps. And you will continue to see those two guys get even more reps.
All right, Mike Varell, then Christian. Go ahead, Mike. Mike, go ahead. Varell?
I think he's on mute, if I'm seeing it right.
Sorry about that. Hey, Jimmy. I'm wondering with Stanford this weekend, with their situation with Santa Clara County, what's your understanding of their situation right now? And are they the only team that you're preparing for currently?
Yes. How about that? Is that the first time anybody's ever asked that question? Oh, man, 2020. Gotta love it. Yes, this is the only team that we are preparing for. Obviously, an unfortunate situation down there in their county. And there's, you know, the 49ers are dealing with it as well as San Jose, I believe. And so my understanding is they can't have any team activities, contact, sports happen in that county. And so they have to move elsewhere to get their practices in. And then, of course, the game's up here in Seattle. So the game site's not going to be an issue. It's going to be more about their game week prep. And from what I understand, they're researching facilities in the Northwest to be able to practice and prepare to play their game up here in Seattle on Saturday.
All right, we'll go to Christian Capel and then Kim Grinnells. Go ahead, Christian.
Hey, Jimmy, just wondering, Richard Newton was suited up for the game but didn't play. Is there any particular reason for that you can share?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's things like that are going to happen. We pride ourselves on, you know, our guys performing in practice and making sure they're, you know, able to execute in practice, and we know that's going to transition over into games. And we're always evaluating and assessing, and we're going to put the guys in there that we feel give us the best chance to win the game.
All right, Kim Grinnells, and then Lauren Kirschman. Go ahead, Kim.
Jimmy, been around you a lot, seen you a lot of practices and games, but I don't think I've ever seen you as wound up and excited as you were after the game. Can you maybe just describe that first step into the locker room and that atmosphere, how long it lasted? And then also Dylan Morris, a lot of adversity. He came back and that last drive was almost perfect. What does that do for a guy like Dylan?
Yeah, so I mean, our whole team was obviously excited. That was a huge victory. And, you know, we talked about our guys competing fearlessly, no matter what the circumstances are. And there were some tremendous circumstances in that game with us being down 21-0 against a formidable opponent in Utah, who year in and year out has one of the best defenses. And for us to go in there and score 24 unanswered points against a quality defense was a tremendous accomplishment for our team. And our defense helped out a ton by getting the ball back very, very quickly. We talked about that. Once our offense scores, we need to make sure we stop their offense, get the ball back to our offense so we can go down and score again. And just time after time, our defense made some plays, got some key turnovers to get the ball back in our hands of our offense so they can go down and put points on the board. So it was an electric atmosphere without our fans, but our sideline and our staff and our trainers and our equipment personnel were all extremely excited about that victory. And then, yeah, Dylan Morris, that's where he is, man. He's steady at the helm, and he doesn't flinch. He doesn't blink. He's ready to go back through his process and deliver the ball where he needs to deliver it, get us into a good play, get us out of a bad play. And he's been able to do that in practice, and so it was no surprise to our team that he was able to do that under tremendous pressure because we put that type of pressure on offense in practice.
All right, Lauren, and then Chris Fetters. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah, Jimmy, you talked about Kyler Gordon on defense, but what makes him so good for you guys on special teams, and how have you seen him really embrace that role?
Yeah, he really embraced it last year. He was our special teams player of the year, voted on by the players. He shows up all over the field, whether he's holding up guys on our returning units or he's covering on our covering units, making big-time plays, which you guys have already seen him do. Especially 2 weeks ago against University of Arizona, he had some really big time hits and tackles that really gave a huge energy boost to our team. you know, he's just such a fantastic athlete. He's fast. He can move side to side. He's athletic. I've been quoted. I've said it. He's one of the more athletic defensive backs that we've had around here. And he's just electrifying. We're also going to find ways to get the ball in his hands so we can also make some plays in the return game. That's always a thing that we've been searching for. He can do a lot for this team, and we just got to make sure he's always around the ball or with the ball in his hands so he can make a big impact.
All right, Chris Fetters and then Tim Booth. Chris, go ahead.
Yeah, I have another film review question, specifically with the run game. Was it a situation when you looked at it overall, a situation where I know Utah prides itself on being really stout up front and the stats show it, but was there more on the table that you felt like you could get out of it once you kind of saw the tape and kind of how the runs unfolded?
Yeah, so again, give University of Utah a tremendous amount of credit. I believe it's 5 years in a row. You're going to have to check my stats, but I believe it's 5 years in a row now that they have led our conference in run defense, which is a phenomenal stat. You guys know I always look at the scoring defense. That's the number one indicator in my mind is who the best defense is in the country or in the Pac-12 is keeping points off the board. But you can go directly to stat number two is rush defense. And Utah, I believe, 5 years in a row now, they are the stingiest defense against the run. And, yeah, we look back on it. We feel we could have done some more for sure. I think we rushed for the most yards of anybody against those guys this year, I believe. I have to check me again there. But, you know, we felt like we could have stayed on a couple of blocks a little bit longer. We feel like our running backs missed a couple of open holes that they could have stayed more vertical and hit it. So there's definitely things to clean up, just like every single week. But, again, give a lot of credit to Utah. We'll learn from some of the mistakes that we made this last Saturday, and we'll try to grow and make sure that we give a better performance in our rush offense.
All right, we'll go to Tim Booth and then Lars. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Jimmy, two things for you. One, did David Shaw reach out to you at all about, you know, a possible training option or location for Stanford in the Northwest? And then secondly, with Zion, is it just a matter of opportunity that we're seeing this amount of production from him, or was it, you know, did you see a noticeable marked change in him when you guys got back together for, you know, summer workouts and fall camp?
Yeah. So first, you know, our administration is really dealing with all the, you know, all the different things that Stanford's dealing with and how we're able to help those guys. So, you know, I thank Jen Cohen and our administration for, you know, they're going back and forth on what we can do to be of service and to help those guys out in this unprecedented year. And we will for sure do anything we can to help those guys out and, you know, make sure that we get that game in on Saturday, because that's what both teams want. You know, Stanford wants to play and University of Washington wants to play. And let's make sure we let these young men all put all this hard work in to go make sure they end it with a game on Saturday. And so the administration's dealing with all that. And then Zion, you know, we really felt like he was coming on last year. I mean, if you saw those last couple of games, you know, the bowl game and the Apple Cup, and he was coming on, and we all saw it. And definitely during the offseason starting in January, his physique changed, he put on more weight. He was starting to understand all the techniques that Coach Kwiatkowski has been teaching him. And he really, you know, really went to work on it, on his game. And he improved himself. And you could see it all playing out right now. And like I've mentioned in training camp, I mean, the guy was just – he's all over our quarterback. He's all over our offense. He's hard to block. And so it's no surprise that he's showing up in games. Now, this level of production, I believe we're all a little bit like, wow, this is a lot of stats he's putting up on there, a lot of game-changing plays. And to his credit, all he's done is every single Tuesday, he's just come back, he's come to work, and I expect the same thing tomorrow. He's going to come back here, go to work, get ready for the rush plan and how to stop the run plan versus Stanford, and he'll be dialed in, and we hope he has another big game this Saturday.
All right, Lars, then Christian. Go ahead, Lars.
Hey, Coach, similar to Utah, Stanford hasn't had a lot of games to have their quarterbacks have tape. How much does that impact the preparation, and how have you prepared in terms of how have you evaluated their quarterbacks this season?
their quarterback. So we, you know, we played against him last year, so we know a lot about him. And we've seen a couple of games on him this year. So there, and there's a bunch of tape on him last year. So there's plenty of tape to watch their quarterback operate their system. We feel we'll have a very good plan, and we'll know what we're going to see from their quarterback. So that's not going to be an issue whatsoever.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, we'll go to Christian Capel, then Dan Raley. Go ahead, Christian.
Jimmy, what would you say is Zion's best skill as a pass rusher? I mean, what really sets him apart?
Whew. Yeah, he's very – so what I think, and I know Coach K always preaches this, is, you know, power first. So he's very, very powerful. If you watch those clips and he'll go engage that tackle, he can run that tackle back into the quarterback. And so when he sets that up with his power – and all of a sudden they're worried about his power, and then he slips you and goes on the edge. That's where it gets really tricky for those offensive linemen. And he really has a knack now of really reaching out and going for that quarterback's arm and getting the ball out, which are obviously game-changing plays. Very excited that he just continues to take his game to the next level. And now I'm excited to watch him come to work tomorrow in practice. I wish you guys could see it, because it's just a beautiful thing to watch when a player – is just constantly trying to improve himself and take the next step in his game. And who knows where he's going to take his game. The sky's the limit. So I'm excited to see where he goes this week.
All right, Dan Raley, then Mike Varell. Go ahead, Dan.
Jimmy, another Zion stat question. In fall camp, Coach K said he was packing about 280 pounds, and he still looks pretty big to me, especially running that fumble back. Is he still 280?
Yeah, Dan, he is. I mean, this is a big, powerful man that can move and run and is slippery. And he's slippery. He's hard. He's like a slider edge rusher, the way he goes around the tackles when he wants a speed rush. But like I had mentioned to Christian there, when he wants to use his power and really go down like a half of a man on an offensive tackle, he uses that 280-pound frame and strength. And he can run that tackle all the way back into the quarterback's lap, which you guys have seen.
All right, Mike Varell, then Moss. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Jimmy. Obviously, you guys didn't have Bowman last week, and I know you're not going to comment on why that is, but how tough is it to compensate for the loss of a senior starter like that, and how do you go about trying to do that?
Yeah, we have a bunch of plans in place because of this crazy – I mean, we're always ready for the next man up. But, of course, in this climate right now, we have to always be ready for that. And we have to be ready for the next coach up as well. And so this has been well thought out. Just because of the pandemic and injuries, and if we're missing coaches, if we're missing players, we have the next guy up ready to go. And those guys got to be ready to carry the flag and continue on the mission. And make sure that we do everything possible to win the football game.
All right, Masvidas, then Fetters. Go ahead, Mas.
Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, just going back to Davis Mills, I mean, you know, how do you prepare for a big mobile quarterback and who's actually smart with no interceptions this season so far?
Yeah, so again, we've gone against him before, so we know his strengths. We know, you know, his limited weaknesses because he's got a lot of strengths. And so we feel with all the film that we've watched and we're continuing to watch today and the rest of the week that we're going to build a plan to make sure that, you know, that we give him problems and that he's not able to connect with his receivers and his pass catchers. But it always starts with stopping the run first. We got to worry about that first. Stanford's always ran the ball well. We got to make sure we stop the run and make them one-dimensional first and foremost.
All right, Chris Fetters, and then Kim, and we'll stick with the hands that are up right now. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, Jimmy, sticking with Stanford's run game, Austin Jones, where does he rack up with the guys that you've seen in terms of running backs you've already faced this year, and does he remind you of anybody?
I would have to – I'm not going to rank them with the guys that we've already seen. I know he's a very talented player. He has speed. He's slippery. Coach Shaw is always going to have a really good run plan to try to create gaps and create creases in your defense. And so, you know, we have to look internally first and make sure we're able to, you know, close up those gaps and make sure we tackle really well. Because two out of our three games right now, as you guys know, we play better run defense than that, and we got to make sure we shore that up first, and make sure that we keep him at bay. But he's a talented player; he can get out on the edge and he can go. He's a little bit slighter than some of the running backs they've had in the past, but he also has a lot of juice.
All right, we'll go with Kim and then Ruth. We have four more questions. Go ahead, Kim.
Hey, Coach. Senior day is always a big deal, not only for your players, but their families as well, with eligibility on hold and families not allowed in. How's that going to work on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, great question, Kim. We have some different things in place, so I'm not going to throw it out there right now and ruin it, but there's going to be special stuff for, you know, those seniors, and we're going to try to make it as special as we can. Obviously, without those parents actually being here and their friends and their families and all Husky Nation to properly salute those guys and give them applause for everything that they've done for this program. But we do have a presentation ready for those guys, and you guys will have to just wait and see how that's going to turn out.
All right, Ruth, and then Josh Kirschenbaum. Go ahead, Ruth.
Yeah, Jimmy, you know, Stanford has been struggling, but Washington lost to them last year, and then next week is Oregon. You know, you hear a lot about how teams might look past a team that's not doing well or a trap game or however you want to call it. How do you go about getting into the mindset of your players to stop them from going down that road in terms of looking past a team because there's another big game coming up?
Yeah, the North for the last 6 years has been Stanford, Washington for most of those years. I believe it's four or five out of the last 6 years. I'm sorry, Ruth, but this is Stanford we're talking about here. This is a powerhouse in the North Division. This is a huge game. This is a storied program that we have a lot of respect for, a big-time opponent. That thought is not going into one person in this whole building's head. That's actually the first I've ever even heard of that. This is a game that is a fist fight as well every single year because of their style of play and our style of play. It's Stanford and Washington that has run the North for years.
All right, we'll go to Josh and then Larry Stone with the last question. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Jimmy, going back to the film on the edge rush, just opposite Zion, what did you see out of Josiah Bronson going kind of back and forth between the interior and the edge and just what you saw out of his preparation to maybe do both of those roles on Saturday?
Yeah, so we've done that personnel group in years past. I mean, you guys have seen Benning do that. We've had a bunch of guys do that in the past when we go our three tackle look with one defensive end. So that's nothing new that we haven't done with our defense. And we'll, you know, go back and forth whether, you know, that game plan dictates that that's what we want to do. But Josiah, you know, is a very smart player. He's played a lot of football for us, and he was able to, you know, serve that role for us. And then we're also able to get some of those younger guys in there. I was really excited about those guys taking the next step in their game. May have not showed up so much on the stat sheet, but we saw their keys and reads getting better, their chase to the ball getting better, their pass rush moves getting better with Savelle Smalls and Cooper McDonald. And we're expecting those guys to raise their game another level again this week.
All right, last question of the day from Larry Stone. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, hi, Jimmy. I guess I'll bring it home with another Zion question. You mentioned how he comes to work every day trying to raise his game to the next level. What is the next level for Zion? And also, do you expect teams now to start game planning more specifically to stop him now that his renown is kind of gaining traction?
For sure. I mean, you would have to know, you'd have to think that they would have to know where ZTF is at all times because he's made so many game-changing plays in just three games. And, you know, starting with our opponent right now, you know, Coach Shaw and Stanford, and that they are for sure going to know where he is and probably have to change some things up to make sure that he doesn't affect the game the way he's affected the game these first three. But the next step in his game, you know, there's always something we get better at, and that's what I preach to our guys. Our anchor, one of our anchors around here, is a constant state of growth and improvement. I'm trying to get better. All of our position coaches, our coordinators are trying to get better, and every single one of our players are trying to get better. There's always room for improvement, and you know, there was a few pass rushes there where he probably could add even more sacks, and if he hones in his technique a little bit more, he'll have any more sacks there. So, you know, could have had a fourth sack if he would have went a little bit lower on the quarterback. You know, maybe a questionable call there, but hey, if he finishes off on his pass rush and goes a little bit lower, now he has four sacks on the day. And so, Larry, there's always something to get better at, and that's what we preach to our team and our staff. And I'm expecting Zion to come into work tomorrow to try to get better.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.